This land is your land, this land is my land. Thank you very much, young lady. And thank you for filling up a whole pew. You can do that any week you want. If you have never looked at our organ, or even the smaller one across the hallway, there's a lot of buttons and stuff. I mean, goodness sakes. It would take me the first 4 years of lessons just to learn which buttons to pull. And you don't think there's some pressure. Watch the young ladies when they get up here. And we had less buttons sending the space shuttle up. Paul says in Galatians chapter 5 the following. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. May we, Jesus, fulfill your law. That which you told us, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our neighbors, ourselves. Now, sometimes it's really easy to love Jehovah God, your Father and our Father, but we need to be reminded to love our brothers and sisters and our neighbors and our Christian friends and those who need to be Christ-like. So give us that strength. We have illnesses. We have those who are being prepared to die and those who've passed on us. We have heartaches and heartbreaks all throughout our congregation, our families. We ask your blessing for them. Let your will be done in all matters. For our nation, in this time of trial and tribulation, give us strength. Give wisdom to those who have selected and elected to manage our country. And let them realize that they're doing it through your power and will. So protect us. Give us courage. Help our local community, our police and our fire and our teachers and all our medical people and our first responders, and bless them. And Father, help us all to just survive each day of the trials that Satan puts us through. Be now with your speaker, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. If someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. That tells us right there that a sin is not the end. I've had far too many people tell me, well, I've committed grievous sins against God or against this, that, and the other, and God just can't forgive me. And I'm saying, why do you limit God? Do you know God's limits? Do you know His abilities? Or do you think you're the only one who is so special that they can be sinned grievously against God that you don't deserve to be forgiven? Well, don't take that on yourself, because it's really up to God to make that decision. So what we need to do, say, God, I'm turning it over to you. And truly, once we let down the I out of the picture, we spoke in Sunday school today about people who thought so much of themselves that they lifted themselves up and they got themselves in trouble. If we take the eye out of the problem and turn it over to God, it will happen. Well, I don't deserve that. You're exactly right. None of us deserves forgiveness, and none of us deserves heaven. But we can accept that gift that's given to us. Second chapter of Acts 38, verse and following. What must we do to be saved? Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peter did not say in that sermon, forgiveness of the little white lies, or forgiveness of just a little bit. You took a cookie, more than your mom said you had one cookie, and you decided two was better. So you took four because you want to be really better. I mean, it didn't. There's no limitation on God. Yes, there is, but one, I do apologize. The denial, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Other than saying there is no God, there is no Holy Spirit, and cursing the Holy Spirit, there is no unforgivable sin. We cannot let ourselves be so trapped that we're down on ourselves. Dr. Phil, I occasionally will get home before supper time, and the last bit of Dr. Phil will be on, Philip McGraw. And Philip McGraw's whole problem is, if you don't let go of it yourself and you don't forgive yourself, then how can you live? And that's the truth. But we don't have to just forgive ourselves. We have to let God forgive us. And Paul's saying once we get to that point, then we forgive those who we have hard feelings against. That's the mercy of God. I do not like that thing in my eyes. If someone's caught in sin, restore them gently. I don't see the cat of nine tails there. I don't see the rack there. I don't even see waterboarding there. I see the word gently, a word that is used to represent a mother holding their newborn child, to try to nourish them and nurse them and help them. That's what I see. And we should be that loving to those around us. That's all Paul is saying. He goes on, but watch yourselves, that you may be tempted. Boy, you get high and mighty after a while. You think you're somebody special. I do love the game of college. Not pro, and I'm sorry if you're a pro person, you're fine with me. You can do that. Of college basketball. But it really disturbs my country ways, I guess. When a player makes a good pass or a good dunk and they walk around beating themselves on the chest like, look at me. We don't have to lift ourselves up. Let somebody else do it for us. Just be glad. Get the door. Just be glad that somebody will notice you.
Just push it.
And help you go along. It's okay. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Isn't that good? That once we've helped each other out, we're lifted up ourselves. I dare say there's a single person in here that at one time or another didn't need some help. Or more than once. Or multiple times. Well, right here in Galatians chapter 6, Paul is saying, in verse 2, carry each other's burdens. If you've ever had a task, a physical task, mental task, I don't know much about mental tasks, that's been on my ability. But if you've ever had a physical task, you know that two persons can do more digging in a ditch than one person can in three times the time. It just seems to go smoother and helping each other. So if somebody's helping us carry the load, how much better will we be? And Paul says, that is what we need to do. Carry each other's burdens. Why? Because we fulfill the law of Christ. Christ is concerned about us loving and helping each other. He goes on. If anyone thinks there's something when they're not, they deceive themselves. They deceive. Each one should test their own actions. Am I really that important? What's the old word? How important you think you are, fill a 5-gallon bucket full of water, put your hand down in it up to your elbow, pull it out and see what size the hole is when you pull your hand back out. The hole's gone. It's been filled in by something else. It's not you. So, though we are important in the eye of God, we're not important in running this world. I think that we're on president number 45, I think. You know, and there'll be some after him. There was some before him. And we keep going on. Nobody can start or stop the world. So they may have more influence than somebody else, but don't think too highly of yourself, Paul is saying. And evidently, since he's writing this to the church, it was that way in the church. You may have been in churches in the past where it seemed like one person, be it the minister, be it the board of this or that or the other, I don't know, Sunday school superintendent, seems to have all the power. The power of the church is not in a person, it's in Christ. It's his bride. And we need to understand that. And we're all the same in the eyes of God. Let each one test their own actions. Are you doing the right thing? Are you learning? Are you growing? Are you surviving? Then they can take pride in themselves alone without anyone else comparing them to someone else. Are you happy with your life? I would hope that you could say, yeah, pretty much. I'm happy. There's some things I'm missing. You know, I only get to eat T-bone four times a week instead of five. No, I'm just kidding. The doctors wouldn't like that anyway. But I'm saying there are things we can change. But we should be able to say, I'm a child of God. And I only have the abilities that God has given to me. If you've ever sat beside me in a sermon or a Sunday morning singing fest, you're saying, well, God missed that on giving him singing ability. If you ever seen me try to play the piano, you say, well, God missed him on the finger ability. And there's a lot of other things I missed out on. But he gave me the ability to talk and enjoy people. So then we use that. And whatever your talents are, use it. Don't worry about what everybody else can play, what everybody else can do, what everybody else can sing, how they sound. Worry about how you are doing with what you have. Look at yourself. Nevertheless, the one who receives instructions in the Word should share all the good things with their instructor. You say, well, I go to church and then I leave and I don't know much. See, we have a dinner every second Sunday of the month. Even when it falls on Mother's Day, we have a dinner every second. Sit down with somebody across the table. Ask them the name of their pet. Whether a dog person or a cat person or a bird person or a fish person, get to know them. Ask them where they're from. Most everybody here, when I'm introduced to you, I like to ask you where you're from. Because if you're from New York City, you don't look at things the same way as somebody from Alabama. You might notice that. And since most of our people here on an average Sunday are from Michigan or Indiana or Michigan or New York or Michigan, us poor Southern boys haven't got a chance down here. I mean, the only thing we do good is eat grits and Spam. Nevertheless, the one who receives instructions in the Word should share it. We should share our lives with each other. Gary, you put pressure on me about a month ago. Gary walked in and said, Easter Sunday, he said, I'd like to sing today. You know what I said? Sing. And didn't he sing very well? Yeah. I got a call from Naomi about a year ago. My daughter's going to be in for Christmas. She can sing. I never heard her daughter sing. Nobody told me she was a mezzo-soprano for the Opry. And I'm not talking about the Grand Ole Opry. And she can sing. And sometimes we have to say, share with us. And if some of you, which I know you do, have a talent and you'd like to share with us, please do. The talents were given for to be used and for us to enjoy. And that's good. He goes on this way. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. Have you watched the news? Have you listened to people? Have you heard the remarks about those who not only don't believe in God, but try to put him down, or those of us who are believers that do? Don't let them dissuade you. Don't let them turn you away from God. Because God cannot be mocked. Look at the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, how much they taunted the angels and what happened to them. On and on and on. The prophet of the Old Testament and the young bad boys of town made fun of him and called him old bald head, and a mama bear came and ate them. God cannot be mocked. I'm not particularly saying, well, anymore you'd think the bears could eat you. I don't know what's going on in the news. Three times. I got to get away from the pulpit. Three times this week on the national news, somebody in the state of Kentucky left their windows down and bears crawled in and ate up their upholstery. Don't, if you're in the state of Kentucky, don't leave your windows down or the bears may want to eat your upholstery. Okay, that was an advertisement. Just be careful. He goes on. Whoever sows to please the flesh, from the flesh they'll reap destruction. You ever seen anybody who's had about four too many facelifts? That means you have, haven't you? And I don't need to say anything else, because you know they were so worried about the flesh that they forgot about life. Good enough. We'll take that as a yes. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. If we're trying to serve Jesus and trying to serve the Holy Spirit, which came to us upon the time of baptism, then we are beneficial. And He will be with us. He will be our comforter that was promised by Jesus there in the first chapter of Acts. And we will benefit from that. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have an opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Tomorrow's Memorial Day. Now, I am not going to call it that again. I am a country boy. We had Decoration Day. No matter what day of the week it was, we went up to the eastern mountains of Kentucky. We carried songbooks up the hillside because you couldn't drive, it was so steep. And in the middle of the day, we stood there in front of the graves of my great-grandparents and their parents and my uncle who died when he was 16. And we sang hymns thanking God for life. And we decorated the graves with flowers because that was important to us. You know, as much as I think that the people of Eastern Kentucky are very important, they're not the ones that invented Decoration Days. It goes back to ancient Greece, as far back as the Peloponnesian Wars. It goes back to the time of Rome. After a battle, they would bring the war dead in and bury them right then with great honor and circumstance. And they would have garlands and all type of flowers to decorate their graves where they had passed. And it really didn't seem to get here until in the middle of, not the end of, until the middle of the, as Paul Harvey would say, the uncivil war. For the ladies. And do remember at the latter part, a tremendous amount of the war was in the South. Where the ladies of the South would go and lay flowers on the graves of their sons, their fathers, their husbands. And it began to pick up. Waterloo, New York, was considered the first place that officially declared a day of decoration of the graves, still during the time of war. American General in Charge, Logan, declared the 30th day of May to be the day of memorial and decoration. You know why the 30th day of May was picked? It's an odd fact. It was one day in American history that no great battles had been fought. So he wanted to pick out a day of peace. A day of peace to honor those who had given their lives for their country. Whichever side you were on, they'd given their lives for their country. Let me read you some statistics. In the Civil War, over 1 million died from the two sides. Just the Northerns had 750,000 that died. War of 1812, 15,000. Revolutionary War, 25,000. The Mexican-American War, 13,000. I've rounded these up because I get tongue-tied. World War I, 116,000. And we were only in that for about a year and a half, not the full time. World War II, 405,000 young men and women died in foreign soil protecting freedom. Korea, 54,000. Vietnam, 58,000. The Iraqi War, 4,500. Spanish-American War, 2,000. Did you even know there was a Spanish-American War? 2,000. 200. Now, here's one I did not know about until I actually studied. The Philippine-American War. 4,000 traveled halfway around the world to give their lives. Afghanistan, 2,200. And as of last month, the war in Iraq, 4,500. We're looking to close to 2 million, probably more, of our brave men and women. Many of whom who volunteered, who signed on the dotted line to go and protect our country. I would not ask you if any of you remember, but most of you do, September the 11th, 2001. When we saw those horrible pictures from New York City. Some of you have been to that part of New York. Some of you know where the World Trade Towers used to be. Did you know the next day, and even that day, they could not collect all the blood that people came in to volunteer to give blood. And the next day, there was not enough paper, and not enough time, and not enough people to write down and bring in all those who volunteered to join the military because they wanted to serve their country. We are here because of battles. Did you know there was actually a war battle fought at Fort Myers? That was actually Fort Myers. Tomorrow I'll go to three different cemeteries and talk about the war efforts that happened in this area and around our country. We are here because of wars. From the War of Independence to the War of Keeping Our Freedom. It was not until 1968 that the United States Congress declared that the last Monday of May will be called Memorial Day to put a memory on all of the war dead, not just the Decoration Day and not just the Civil War. 1971, it became a law. You know why it was done that way? So the federal government could have a three-day holiday. That was the reason. Had nothing to do with giving us a Monday off to go to the graveside. A lot of people will never see a cemetery tomorrow. Will never take a rose or a wreath. It's just a day off. The apostle told us, again, this line, let us not become weary in doing good, for the proper time we will reap a harvest that we will not give up. These men and women did not grow weary. And if you've been in the military, you were away from home. And if you traveled overseas, you know that it wasn't like home. If you did not, if you saw it on TV, you knew how harsh and hard it was to serve in the military. We love our veterans. If you've not noticed, back on the back wall in the back room, we have pictures of our veterans. If you're a veteran here and have not had your picture taken, we want to put you up on that wall because it's very special for us. And on Veterans Day, we will have a ceremony each year to thank our veterans for what they've done. May the 2nd, 1915. In a place called Belgium, a town called Ypres, a bomb exploded and killed a young lieutenant. This young lieutenant suffered quite a bit. The doctor there, it was a friend of his, and he could not save him, and he died. This doctor grieved immensely. He being the highest ranking officer there, and no chaplain on the spot, he had to preach the funeral and bury his best friend. And after the service was over with, he sat down by the moonlight and he wrote the following poem. In Flanders fields, the poppies grow. Between the crosses, row on row, that mark our place, and in the sky, the larks still bravely singing fly, sacred herd among the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago, we lived and felt dawn and saw sunset glow, and loved and were loved. And now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you, from following hands, we throw the torch that holds to hold it high. If you break faith with us who die, we will not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders Field. Every year as we traveled to Decoration Day, we would stop at a restaurant in West Liberty, Kentucky, and all of the place marks had that poem. And I never understood it until I talked to my great uncle, who served in that area in World War I. And he talked about the havoc that was wreaked and how it affected him the rest of his life. We are at war. We're not really in a declared war, an all-out battle like we were in these other wars I've mentioned. And even if there was not an enemy that hated us and tried to destroy America, we're a bigger war than that. We're a war of Satan. He's trying to destroy God's church and his people. But God will not allow that to happen. Jesus, on the night before he was betrayed, instituted what we call the Lord's Supper. And I do think it's on the front of this, isn't it, Joseph? He said, "Do this in memory of me." Every time you take communion, you remember Christ's sacrifice. Every time you see the flag, you hear about Old Glory. You sing the Star Spangled Banner, or Proud to Be an American, or Case Smith's song. Think about those men and women. Remember them. Never let it go. These men and women and their sacrifice did it to make us free from tyranny. And I wished I could say that was the biggest sacrifice of all time, but it's not. Because upon that cross, Jesus made us free from sin. And because of those lives that were given, we are truly a free people until we give it up. Never let that happen. So tomorrow, with the races and the ball games and the picnics and all the things you're going to do, take a time, remember the sacrifice, first of Jesus, and then of our fighting forces and those who serve us. Pray with me, please. Our God and Father, thank you for life, for love, for Jesus, for those who stood up to defend our country, to create our country, to make our country live. Because without their work, we would not be where we are. Give us your blessing, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Our hymn of invitation today, Miss. Oh yeah, there you are.
478.
478. Stand with me as we sing hymn number 478.
I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home, coming home, coming home, never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love, Lord, I'm coming home.